It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. Always, always, always good to have you guys here. Quick shout out, wanted to say thank you for those individuals who are checking out my latest book, available for free at dominatingyourmind.com. So if you are, let's say, want to up-level your courage, want to have more confidence, want to take, want to just, I think, expand your quality of life, check out my latest book, dominatingyourmind.com. And for those individuals who got the book yesterday, I want to thank you so much to those folks. Just a quick shout out. Calvin, thank you so much. Travis, thank you so much. And last but not least, Jen, thank you so much for getting the book. It's free at dominatingyourmind.com, and just pay some shipping. Anyway, I want to say thank you to you guys as well for helping us make Money for Lunch a continued success. Currently available on, I think, just about every major platform: Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and anyway, the list goes on. So your favorite places you can find Money for Lunch, and I want to thank you so much for that. All right, let's talk about the quote of the day. The quote of the day brought to you by Napoleon Hill. Strength and growth come only through continuous effort and struggle, by Napoleon Hill. Strength and growth come only through continuous effort and struggle. All right. Today, I'm being joined by Meredith Elliott Powell. Meredith Elliott Powell, voted one of the top 15 business growth experts to watch. Meredith is an award-winning author, keynote speaker, and business strategist. She is passionate about helping her clients learn the strategies that they need to succeed no matter what this economy is doing. Meredith, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you. I am excited to be here.
Well, you know what? I'm excited to have you here. I think it's it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people, when I say a lot of people, let's say entrepreneurs for sure, are always concerned about growing their business and how their market's going to react and what to do next. So I'm excited to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's one of my favorite subjects.
All right. So let's jump into this. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you go? How did you get from where you are today to where you were in the past? Maybe give us like a Reader's Digest version.
Sure. So I came out of corporate America. I started my career in travel and tourism, went into healthcare, and then ultimately into financial services. And that kind of sounds like maybe a thread that doesn't tie together, but I entered those industries always at a time of great uncertainty. I went into travel and tourism in an area where a hurricane had just hit. I went into healthcare when the government started making cutbacks to Medicare and Medicaid, and I went into financial services just when community banks were coming into fashion and changed banking as we know it. So my career has always been to run into uncertainty. I left the corporate world in about 2005, started out as a business strategist, and then 2008 hit. And 2008, while that was nobody remembers, maybe we should have a moment of silence, but that's kind of the day that the world turned. But I, just like it typically done in any industry I've ever been in, 2008 was truly a breakout year for me in that I started really studying those organizations, and there weren't many. Most people were flat or going backwards. But I started studying those organizations and those professionals that seemed to be thriving. And believe it or not, from 2008 to about 2012, before most of us felt the economy starting to turn back in our favor, they were seeing 30 and 40% growth. And I wanted to know why. And that has led me down a path to being fascinated with individuals, with companies that seem to thrive in uncertainty. And it's, I love the quote that you started the program with.
Yeah. You know what? And it's interesting that, there always seems to be a few companies that no matter the situation, they're making things happen. And, I think that is, what do you call it? Very interesting. I remember, the book, From Good to Great.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty interesting study. And you know, I think that, you know, there's always those companies that, for whatever reason, seem to always do well. So let's talk about this real quick. You know, based on your research, your experience, you know, what are some of the things that you found, maybe some of the strategies that you found that these successful businesses are using?
Yeah, you know, I love the fact that you brought up Good to Great, because Good to Great is such a fascinating studies of companies that have done incredibly well over time. And those are companies that did incredibly well until the shift of 2008. And I want to make that point because one reason I see most of us struggling right now is that the lessons that we learned that that were valuable prior to 2008, 2010, really don't work in today's marketplace. There are things that we've got to shift in order to be successful going forward. And just as an example, you know, anybody who has a business thinks I've got to have a strategic plan, correct? I mean, we've got to have a plan,
sure.
We've got to have goals, we've got to know where we're going. That makes sense. Well, the traditional strategic plan doesn't work in today's marketplace, and it doesn't work for a couple of reasons. Number one is if you create a five-year plan, that plan is going to be useless in about 3 to 4 months because that's how fast our economy is changing. The other thing is that for the first time since I've been studying business, there are more things that are happening external to your business that can impact your success than are happening internal to your business. And that shifts where we as business owners, where corporate leaders, professionals need to be focusing our time and our energy.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, if you create a five-year plan, which is, you know what, I think that's good to have. I think 3 or 4 months might even be, you know, what do you call it? Stretching it a little bit, right? Because, you know, you look at some of the most successful companies, and one of the things they have in common is they took that five-year plan and it was, you know, shortly thereafter the company was launched, that five-year plan was tossed out the window. A lot of the most successful companies end up pivoting into an area that they weren't even expecting or wasn't even on their radar when they wrote out that five-year plan, right?
Yeah, exactly. What I'm coming across now is that what I'm finding is companies are hyper-focused while remaining incredibly flexible. And while that seems kind of like an oxymoron, the way that works is you definitely build your plan. You're definitely very clear on the 3 to 5 things that you want to accomplish and that you need to do somewhere in the next 3 to 5 years. But every quarter in your business, you carve out the time for the leadership team to do nothing but brainstorm what's going on politically, what's going on in your industry, what's going on with technology, what's going on competitively. And really have that conversation and decide with all those changes, what are things you can't control? What are things that you can control? And how do you use the things that you can control to adjust and flex your plan to keep it more valid and more really working for the changes that are happening in the marketplace? Because, you know, I mean, look at it. Geez, I mean, if depending on how the presidential election goes, this last election, I mean, if you're in finances, your world changed because of who's in charge of, you know, the banking committees.
Right.
Now. Think about it if gas prices go up. I mean, so much can impact your success if you've got to build in that fact that you're looking outside of the company and you're prepared to make the changes.
Yeah. All right. What advice do you have to our listeners, to entrepreneurs, business owners who are struggling or concerned. And so how do you, so let's just leave it like that. What kind of advice do you have to these individuals who are concerned about business, who are struggling today?
Yeah, I have so much advice. but the first piece is that you've really got to shift your paradigm and stop seeing uncertainty as a bad thing and just begin to embrace it as a good thing. That uncertainty, if you see change coming, it's opportunity. If you put your head in the sand, it's going to be a threat. So that's really, if you did nothing else but shifted your mindset to be, say, I know that what I'm doing today won't be exactly what I'm doing this time next year, but I'm going to create it as opportunity, and I'm going to create the structure within my business to see the change coming. That's going to do a lot. That's going to do a lot to put you, on the path to success and headed in the right direction. The other thing is that I see with a really successful companies is they're married to the purpose that they have, and they're married to the experience they want to create for employees and customers, but they're not necessarily married to the product that they sell. Great example is a great negative example of this is BlackBerry. BlackBerry was married to the product that they sell, and the market changed on them. And I think that's a hard concept for a lot of us to come to, is that we love our product, we love what we sell. But you've got to be open to the fact that it's going to morph and change, and you need to morph and change with it.
Yeah, you know what? I love what you said about embracing change, because the reality is change is our most consistent, constant partner. And the difference for those individuals who are suffering and those individuals who are thriving are the fact that they see the change and they're able to use it, as you said, an opportunity. And I think that most people just freak out, this is going to be terrible and this is going to ruin the industry. And guess what? It might, but how can you capitalize on it? How can this change, work in your favor? Apple, I think, helped. If Apple wasn't the direct cause, Apple certainly was one of the major causes for changing or disrupting the way music was bought.
Yes.
And, in a lot of companies suffered because they couldn't deal with that change. They weren't prepared. They weren't open to it. And what's so funny to me is, years after Apple had made this massive disruption, did these major labels decide, hey, okay, we couldn't beat Apple, so let's go ahead and do the same thing. But now they're last in the marketplace, and they don't have the technology,
exactly,
as opposed to saying, hey, this might be a thing to do. And then, of course, one of my favorite stories that I talk about all the time is you look at Blockbuster. I mean, Blockbuster,
yep,
was the place to rent your entertainment from. And not once, not twice, but three times, Netflix had made an offer for Blockbuster and them to do some kind of strategic alliance. They were literally laughed at. They were ridiculed. They even did I think it was in Forbes or Entrepreneur, where they said, the Netflix model doesn't work for us. It's not going to affect us. It's not our core market. So we don't think that they're going to be a competition for us. And then, of course, Blockbuster is gone.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that, change happens so fast now. I think even if we think of ourselves as people who have been open to change, I'll give it to you, it's difficult to run a business and, you just sort of get your legs under you and you need to change again. But that's why that methodology of being razor-like focused, so that you know you can make decisions based on, if these are the things we want to accomplish, then all that stuff that's coming at you, you can say, does this help us accomplish it or not? Gives you a way to make decisions. But at the same time, if you are a leader, you have got to get your head out of your business, at least on a quarterly basis.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things that people need to accept along with change is that, and this is what happened to Blockbuster, this is what happened to Toys R Us, this is what happened to Kodak, is that I think you, and you mentioned this, they were married, you mentioned BlackBerry, this is what happened to BlackBerry. They were so married to their product and not to what they did or how they did or whatever you want to call it, but they were so married that they couldn't see outside the box. They could not, they couldn't see change coming. You know, even when it knocked on the door and said, hey, let's get together and do this and let's make this change happen for the, you know, for everybody. They still couldn't see it. You have to, depending on the, you know, depending on where you're at with your company, if you're a, if you're a fairly new company, then you can probably, you probably won't have this disease. But if you're an old company and everybody is thinking, yeah, we're the best and nobody's going to hurt us and we're awesome, then you need to get some new blood in there because you're about to lose your business.
Exactly. And, you know, and what I love is what you're saying is if you take that back and you begin by reframing that, you know, that this is an opportunity, that all this uncertainty creates opportunity, then it just takes you into a different mindset around how, you know, how you sell your business. Because I just, I don't care what you do for a living, it won't be exactly, this time next year, it won't be exactly how you do it. I mean, I look at every industry I work in, you know, and I think, I look at healthcare, I look at finances, I look at travel and tourism, I look at entertainment, and it is all changing so rapidly. And if you don't change your industry, then the disruptor is going to come in and change it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. You know, and I want to go back to what you said earlier about staying focused while being flexible. And do you have some tools or some strategies for that? Because I think that, you know, I kind of glossed over that. And now that we're talking it, you know, I think it's so, I guess it's sinking in a little bit more. So let's go back and talk about that for a sec.
Sure. It's sinking in as to what is she talking about? How can you, it doesn't even make any sense. So basically, you know, for, if you own a business right now, whether it's a large corporation or you own what we consider the Main Street store, the number one thing that you have got to sit down is you have got to build your strategic plan, not a strategic book. You've got to really have a simple strategic plan of where you're headed, what goals you're going to accomplish, preferably keeping those from 3 to 5, but get very clear on who you are, what you offer, and how you're going to get there. And the reason I want people to be hyper-focused is because without hyper-focus, you end up chasing every shiny object. And with margins as skinny as they are in today's marketplace, you don't have time to go down rabbit holes. So the beauty of the focus is to say, if somebody comes along with, you know, some technology you need to buy, or you know, or another market you need to invest in, you can go back to your strategy and say, how does doing that help me achieve these goals? And if it does, you buy into it. If it doesn't, you get out of it. So that's how you get hyper-focused. How you get hyper-flexible is a little bit of what I've talked about. You need to write down the words society, economy, politics, competition, industry, customers. And on a quarterly basis, if you are a mom and pop operation, grab 5 other mom and pops, go out for coffee, and just talk about what's happening in those areas. If you're a big corporation, this is what you ought to be doing at the executive level and senior level leadership teams. And really asking yourself, what changes are happening and how do those changes positively or negatively impact my plan, and do I need to change them? And I'll just give you a really quick example. I was doing this with a client of mine, and they're in an industry where the majority of their sales are dependent upon tax credits. the government gives a tax credit for the product that they sell. And we were doing an exercise like this. And one of the things that we saw happening politically was the fact that there was a good chance that the Democrats were going to lose and the Republicans were going to come back in. And if the Republicans came back in, if there was a good chance that the tax credits would go away. We saw that change coming a good year and a half ahead, and we were able to diversify the product mix so that 70% of their income was not dependent upon a tax credit-based product.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so, when I'm listening to you talk, one of the things that I'm a big believer in, and it almost sounds, this is what you're talking about, when you said, hey, grab some other mom and pops and stuff like that. And that is a mastermind, right? You get together with other
yep.
people and you start saying, hey, what's happening here? And I love the list that you gave out, society, economy, all the, and some of the other ones that you gave out. And so it is important for people to get together and mastermind and figure things out and get some new ideas, because there's nothing more dangerous than to stay in that box and continue to believe your beliefs.
Completely. I love that you brought this up, because I'm such a believer in masterminds. But even on top of that, I was just working with a client who runs a very large company. And we were talking about what we were building for him was that opportunity inside his company for departments to give ideas to other departments, to even get out of your own department. You've got to have external view. You've got to have other ideas and opinions, because we get so closed-minded as to what we're doing. And then the other problem is, why change if it's not broken, right? I mean, we go back to my client that is making a ton of money off a tax credit-based product. Well, that's a hard argument to say, walk away from that. But boy, when you get out and you see the future coming, that shifts your mindset and makes you a different type of leader, the type of leader who could truly understand how to thrive in uncertainty. Change before you need to, and you control what that change does to your business.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing here, Meredith, is that change is going to happen. And the question is, the big takeaway for me is, are you going to roll with it and use it as an opportunity? Or are you going to let it decimate your industry and be a victim, right? Because, there's so many people that will sit here and tell you that they had a great business and they were successful and things were awesome until Amazon put them out of business, or until, the president put them out of business, or until, XYZ put them out of business. And that's great. And that all may be accurate, but at the end of the day, who cares? I mean, the bottom line is, if you have a business, it's your responsibility to protect it. And the attitude of, if it's not broke, don't fix it, is not going to work. There's just too many stories out there of people who were, thriving, and all of a sudden they're not.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, just like most people, there's nothing I love more than being a victim. It's fun. I mean, I would love to go grab a cup of coffee with you, and you and I can whine all day long. We can complain about Amazon. We can complain about the president. We can complain about everything. And it's fun. I mean, I think that human beings bond that way. But the problem with it, and the reason I won't let my clients do it, is at the end of the conversation, you didn't get anywhere. You're still in the same spot. I would let you be a victim if it moved you forward, but it doesn't. And so it's a waste of energy and time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was I was listening to a talk the other day, and the gentleman said, blaming the person for this or that doesn't help you solve anything.
Right?
It's not being the victim, playing the blame game doesn't solve the issue at hand, doesn't solve the fact that your market is shrinking, doesn't solve the fact that you know, you're having all these issues, you know, that you might not be able to make payroll, that all of a sudden somebody is, you know, taking your market away from you. None of that changes. And
right.
I think that, again, back to having a good mastermind group, listening to somebody who has contrarian beliefs, yeah, can make a world of difference in your business.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is, you know, I think so much of what you're talking about is to build the relationships you need and then get your ego out of the way. You could be your own worst roadblock if, you know, if people are giving you ideas and you don't agree with them. If you don't at least listen and be open to that, you're going to miss, you're missing out on unbelievable opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Meredith, it's been an absolute blast having you on the show today, and I want to thank you for stopping by, and I'd love to have you back again later this year. And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, if they wanted to find out more about Meredith, what's the best website to go to?
Well, it has been fabulous to be here. They can reach me at valuespeaker.com, the words valuespeaker.com. I got lots of free tools and resources and all kinds of articles and information about what you need to do to thrive in uncertainty.
I love it. I love it. Thriving in uncertainty, Meredith, Elliot Powell, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
You bet. Good stuff there from Meredith Elliot Powell. How to thrive in uncertainty. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. We are all dealing with uncertainty. It's 24/7. Sometimes we fool ourselves into believing that there's some kind of stability out there. All of a sudden, you know, your quote, boring daily commute is disrupted by an accident, or it's disrupted by some other, you know, maybe a natural disaster. So who knows what's going to happen? But I love this idea of being prepared for uncertainty and embracing uncertainty, because ultimately that's the real deal. As always, my friends, let's share this program with everybody you know. Let's share this episode with everybody you know. Let's help as many people get ready for change in their marketplace, because it's coming. And always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.